and to get the best price you can.
Pet Care RX works with your vet to fulfill all your pet's needs.
Pet Care RX does it all, from calling my vet to delivering my dog's medicine.
We're your pet's online drugstore. Go to PetCareRx.com. That's PetCareRx.com or call 1-866-PetCareRx. That's 1-866-PetCareRx.
The views expressed on Inside Scoop do not necessarily reflect those of the station owner, management, or staff of WAGE.
Good evening, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news from Washington, D.C., the government does not want you to know. Today, of course, is July 4th, 2004. Happy Independence Day. 228 years ago, the Second Continental Congress met and adopted the Declaration of the 13 British Colonies, calling them the United States of America for the first time. Of course, it was the Declaration of Independence, penned by Thomas Jefferson, edited in part by that Continental Congress. And 228 years ago, they adopted that document. And, you know, as July 4th comes around this year, I think it's very important that we focus as we're going to our fireworks celebrations. And I love fireworks celebrations. But to me, this July 4th led me to reflect on what makes us Americans, what makes America great, why it is that we are patriotic. Why do we support our country? And, you know, I was thinking back as I was driving here to the radio station about all the things that make me patriotic, all the things that I care about, all the things that I think about when I watch the fireworks, in addition to the oohing and the eyeing. And in fact, when I'm done today, I'm going to rush over to the Washington Mall myself and hopefully in this soggy weather watch some fireworks myself. But I was thinking about what makes America America and why I'm patriotic and why I do believe that this is the best country on earth, or at least the best country for me on earth. I can tell you I've lived in the United States all of my life except for 1 year in between college and law school when I had a Fulbright scholarship and I lived in Switzerland. And I don't mean to disrespect Switzerland. It's a beautiful country, actually stunningly beautiful. But when I came back to the United States after a year abroad, I think I was ready to kiss the ground, and I saw the American flag flying, and I was ready to kiss that too. There's something about America that is home, obviously, for me and for 290 million of us, but also that it's more than its home. America, I love America more than it happens to be my home. I love America precisely because of American principles. And as I was driving here to the radio station, I thought back to a Miss World pageant that I saw, must have been 15 years ago. And I don't really, you know, watch that many pageants, but this one sticks in my mind. And it was the Miss World pageant, and there was Miss USA, and it was a very pretty blonde young woman from Hawaii. I remember her quite distinctly. And she was in first place, and she'd already won the beauty and the talent and the all the competitions that they had up to that point. And at that time, they'd just begun electronic voting, and they showed she was in first. And she was up against some others, and there's Miss South Africa. And Miss South Africa was in fourth place. And I remember quite clearly, because it struck me, when they asked the question of Miss USA and Miss South Africa to see who would win the Miss World pageant, they asked them individually, what is the greatest thing about their countries? And they asked them with the others not hearing the question, so they had to answer spontaneously. And they asked Miss South Africa first, and she was in fourth place. And they asked Miss South Africa, what's the greatest thing about South Africa? And she said, democracy. Well, that's a pretty ironic comment, given that South Africa was at that time under apartheid. It had democracy, but for whites only, and a much lesser democracy for what they called coloreds, mixtures of races, and for Indians, and no democracy whatsoever for the black Africans. And yet she talked about democracy, and they took her answer into account. And then they went on to Miss USA. Now, Miss USA, as I said, was a pretty blonde girl from Hawaii, and they asked her, what is the greatest thing about the United States of America? And she thought for half a second and blurted out, the beaches. It's the beaches. And, you know, I love America's beaches. I think we have some wonderful beaches, particularly in Hawaii. But this was the greatest thing that Miss USA could think about the United States of America. It's all about the beaches. And perhaps not surprisingly, Miss South Africa won the Miss World pageant and Miss USA lost. And I can't say I blame the judges. How is it that a woman representing the United States of America, the best thing she can think about is our beaches? And so to me, when it comes to July 4th, when it comes to Independence Day, when it comes to a question of what makes me or anyone else patriotic, it's got to be a lot more than the beaches. It's got to be a lot more than the fact that I find comfort in the United States of America that I don't find when I'm abroad anywhere, although obviously some more in places where I've lived. But, you know, certainly the United States is home to me. But it has to be more than home. It has to be more than home that draws millions of people to our shores every year from the time we were founded as a nation. You know, we draw in more immigrants to the United States of America than all other countries combined. And there's something about the American dream that causes people to come here. And part of it certainly is we are the wealthiest country on earth. And obviously part of the belief of the American dream is that you can make it here. You know, right? Like the song says in New York, New York, if you can make it. Well, I guess it's not if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. It's really if you can't make it anywhere, you can still make it in America. There is that belief in the American dream. There's also the belief that if you're persecuted because of your religion or your race or some other mistreatment, maybe because of your sex, you can come to America and live freely. And so I think that this Independence Day, we have to think about the larger issues. And what does it mean for us to be patriotic? And I want to ask you, as you call into the show today, as you're driving out, maybe even on your cell phones, driving out to that 4th of July celebration, do you consider yourself patriotic? Are you patriotic? Why? Or why aren't you? And more importantly, and what I really want to get in the discussion today, do you consider dissent to be patriotic? If you disagree with the President of the United States, are you a patriot? Is supporting the President patriotic? Is blind support of the President unpatriotic? And if you can disagree with the President and with the government and with the country, as I often am disagreeing with our government, what are the bounds of dissent? I mean, when does it go too far? When do you attack the government so much that you cease loving America? Is there a limit? Or, conversely, where does America go when America goes too far that you cease to love your country? I would hope that everyone listening to my voice, that there is a point beyond which our country could go where you would cease defending your nation. Right? I would have hoped that the Germans would have ceased defending Germany when Hitler began his genocide. I would hope that the Sudanese would cease defending their country, cease being nationalistic, patriotic, now that right now in Sudan they are committing genocide, now that the Arabs are killing the blacks in Sudan. Now obviously we're not going near that far, but is there a limit to your patriotism? And, as I said, when is dissent patriotic? Well, what is patriotic? Is fighting in the military patriotic? Is teaching children patriotic? How about doing a radio show? You know, I used to work as a trial lawyer, made a decent living as that. I gave it all up to do this radio show. Is that a show of patriotism? I also want to know if you display the American flag. Why do you? Why don't you? What does that mean to you, the American flag? And also, are you more or less patriotic than your neighbors? Lots of questions here. If you want to call in, I want to hear from you locally. The number is 703-777-1200. I know a lot of you listen on the Internet. And that number is 877-57-SCOOP. It's toll-free. You can call from anywhere in the nation. 877-57-SCOOP. Again, 877-577-2667 would be the numbers if you don't like the letters. And you can also send me an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. To me, and I want to hear if you folks agree with me, to me the essence of patriotism is not that, you know, I feel welcome in America. It's not that I feel free and productive in America. To me, the essence of patriotism is not the flag of the United States. The flag, I mean, it's a beautiful flag. It's a symbol, yes. I do well up when I see it wave, particularly as I hear the Star-Spangled Banner. All the symbols work. But I, Mark Levine, do not pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. I pledge allegiance to the republic for which it stands. and specifically to the Constitution, which holds our republic together. If you ask me, what is the thing that I pledge most allegiance to? It's not the symbol of the flag. It's not the land, the earth, as Scarlett O'Hara might have held up the earth of Terra. No, it's not the earth, and it's not the flag. To me, it is the Constitution. And it's always striking to me how few Americans have actually read the Constitution of the United States. This is a document that all office holders in the United States are required to pledge allegiance to. Every single office holder, I don't know if you know this, it's not just the President of the United States, it's not just members of Congress, it's not just judges, it's every state legislature, it's every mayor, it's every town council, right? If city dog catcher is elected, I presume that they pledge allegiance to the Constitution of the United States. And this document, this Constitution of the United States, began, of course, with a lot of awful things in it, right? I mean, at the beginning, we had a three-fifths clause that counted slaves as three-fifths of a person. And that's often misunderstood. That's often thought that the slaves maybe had three-fifths of a vote. That's not true at all. Actually, counting them as three-fifths was in some ways more harmful to the slaves than counting them as zero. The slaves certainly had no vote in the elections. And the point of counting them three-fifths as part of this great compromise between the North and the South was it allowed the South, the Southern whites, the Southern non-slaves, and of course in the early days of the Constitution it wasn't just Southern whites or whites, but white men who owned property and who were Christian would tend to be the only ones that could vote. If you were white, male, and Christian and you didn't own property, a lot of times you couldn't vote. But the point of the three-fifths clause in the Constitution was to count three-fifths of the slaves as a number for representation in Congress. So as I said, it actually helped the people who could vote, the white Christian males that own property, gave them more power, this three-fifths clause. So the Constitution began as had some pretty awful stuff in it. But of course, the genius of our founders, the genius above all, was the amendment clause. The clause that said that as times change, as our values change, as our values hopefully progress as a nation, we can change our founding document. We can create a new and better Constitution of the United States. And of course, the Constitution is not just brilliant, and I think it is brilliant, because of its amendments, and because of its right to amend, and because of its Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments that protect our basic freedoms. It's brilliant because it sets up a number of people in the government to watch each other. We have the Congress that has certain roles and obligations, and the President that has different roles and obligations, and the Supreme Court has other roles and obligations, and that's just at the federal level. And then we've got the local officials and the state officials, legislature, executive, judiciary, and then we've got a free press watching everybody. And the point is that every one of these powers is watching and jealously guarding their power, as they wrote in the Federalist Papers, our founders of the United States of America. It's not that we think that Americans are better than others. It's not that we think Americans are more honest than others or our leaders are any better than any other leaders in the world. What it is a system of checks and balances, to use the famous term, where everyone is watching everybody else, looking out for everyone's interest, and trying to make sure that, people are treated fairly, right? Because if somebody's dishonest, then you just have to hope that someone else will be honest. And all this comes to mind when I think of our current President of the United States and his party, the Republican Party, which controls both houses of Congress, which also controls the judiciary, and in large ways through groups like Roger Ailes and Fox News is starting to control the press. And when you get a one-party government, the system of checks and balances fails. And it seems to me that whenever the President is challenged about lies he's told, accidents. I don't mean mistakes, but out-and-out lies. I mean, the president knew that the documents from Niger were forged, that Saddam Hussein really wasn't seeking nuclear weapons because everyone told him that, and I don't think the president had independent information different from the CIA and the FBI and his counterterrorism advisors. So when he lied to us, the response of the president is always, well, we're honorable people. Well, with all due respect, Mr. President, I'm not challenging your honor. Maybe I should, but I'm not. I'm challenging your words. And to me, disagreeing with the President of the United States, disagreeing with Congress, disagreeing with the government at all is one of the most patriotic things an American can do. So I want to discuss in this hour, before we go out and enjoy the fireworks, I want to have a really healthy discussion of what makes for patriotism. What makes you proud of your nation? What makes you not proud of your nation? And when can you disagree and be patriotic? Again, the number is locally 703-777-1200, or you can call toll-free 877-57-SCOOP. And we'll be back with more of the Inside Scoop and your calls. You can also email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. All of that right after these messages.
Here's a message about energy-efficient Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first. If you've suffered through the last few months with leaky, drafty windows or patio doors, now is the time to replace them, and Anderson is the brand to choose. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors give you beautiful, natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. It's no wonder professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson more than any other brand. See the full line of Anderson products at J.T. Hurst & Company. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows. Long live the home.
How many different organizations list you as a member? You might be a member of a sports team, a book club, travel or CD club. But what does that membership really mean? Does membership in a book club allow you to vote on who runs the organization? Can you help shape the long-term future of your CD club? I don't think so. You can, however, shape the future of your electric company. That is, if you're a Novec customer. Novec, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, is owned by the consumers we serve and governed by a board of directors elected from the membership. Pretty cool, huh? But wait, there's more. Novec's customers share in the company's profits. Last year, we distributed more than $9.1 million in capital credits to our membership. The power to vote and a share of the profits. Membership doesn't get much better than this. Novec, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novec.com. Novec. I got the power to move ya.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Happy Independence Day, everyone. Happy July 4th. As you're driving to fireworks, or maybe you're preparing to go to fireworks, listening in on the internet at home, I'd like to discuss briefly what it's all about. You know, it's not just about beautiful lights in the sky. It's about our independence. It's about our freedom as a nation. It's about, I don't know, what America's all about. It's about patriotism. And I want to know from you, are you patriotic? Do you consider yourself patriotic? Tell me why you consider yourself patriotic. And I guess more importantly to me is, do you consider dissent to be patriotic? How much can you disagree with the government of the United States and still be patriotic? My show here on the Inside Scoop, 6 days a week, every Sunday here on WAGE at 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, my show is all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. I see it as my obligation to tell you, to let you know what's going on in Washington that government does not want you to know. Is that a patriotic thing? Is it a patriotic thing for me to do what I do, which is give up a decent living as a lawyer and use my expertise in the Constitution and the law to let you know what's going on in Washington and to, frankly, dissent with our government of the country I love so much? I wonder what you think about this. The number is 877-57-SCOOP. It's a toll-free number, 877-57-SCOOP, or 877-577-2667. You can also call locally if you're in the WAGE area in Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, parts of Maryland and West Virginia. Just dial 703-777-1200, or you can also send an email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. And I got an email here on my blog, my weblog at radioinsidescoop.com. Here's what the person who has nicknamed himself Nathan Hale, I don't think Nathan Hale actually wrote in, that's what he writes. He writes, "Patriots are many things, but they are never silent. They are agitators. They are the irritation of creation, the itch that makes the pearl. They are part of a purpose that transcends lifetimes. They are citizens of a nation, of the universe at the same time. They are obedient to a cause that is disobedience to some, but their intent is encompassed by parameters they see as truth. And that is what they cling their allegiance to." And I guess my question to you folks is, when truth conflicts with our government, who do you owe your allegiance to? Is it America, right or wrong? Our president, right or wrong? Even where our president is wrong, are you obliged to follow him? I mean, let's say you're in the military. Well, then you kind of are obliged, aren't you? I mean, you sign up for duty, and the president tells you, well, we're going to war in Iraq because we are going to find weapons of mass destruction because we don't want a nuclear mushroom cloud to appear over America's cities. And it turns out that not only did Iraq not have nuclear weapons, but our administration knew they didn't have nuclear weapons and lied about it. So who do you owe your allegiance to? I was very shocked to read in the New York Times today that our government, and I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow because I think it's an incredible story. And again, you can hear this at my website, www.radioinsidescoop.com. Our government swapped terrorists, known terrorists, for hostages to Saudi Arabia. Okay? They actually swapped out people that we knew were terrorists. Now, well, it's shocking to me because this is an administration that has tortured innocent people, right? Set the dogs on them, literally set the dogs on them, biting them, approved this, said we don't have to agree with the Geneva Conventions, has taken people who we know to be innocent and subjected them to all kinds of mistreatment. And yet, when we get people that the Saudis want, Saudi citizens, who we know were training in al-Qaeda camps, we release them. So what kind of president is it that gives more credence to Saudi Arabia than to the United States of America? Whose loyalty? And look, you know, I'm not going to call Bush unpatriotic. I'm not going to do that. Even though he has called me unpatriotic, he and his supporters have made it clear that those of us that disagree with his policies, they call us unpatriotic. They say if we disagree with his policies, we're harming the war effort. But what is it about this administration that gives away al-Qaeda, people that's trained al-Qaeda camps, to Saudi Arabia to free some British hostages? Didn't we learn from Ronald Reagan that we shouldn't give arms for hostages? Is it any better to give terrorists up for hostages? And yet, when Michael Moore points out in his movie Fahrenheit 9/11 the incredible ties between George Bush and Saudi Arabia, the $1.4 billion given by Saudi Arabia over several decades to Bush and his family and to the various companies that they're part of, people say, well, you can't print that. I mean, it may be true, but you can't show that. That's disrespectful to the President of the United States. And my question is, what is disrespect? To me, the heart of Independence Day, the heart of the Declaration of Independence, what did it do if not show disrespect to King George III? It showed complete disrespect to him. I want to read a little bit later on from the actual Declaration of Independence, which I think is very much appropriate this July 4th. And I want to talk about our complaints against King George. Because we showed tremendous, I mean, I think we actually were fairly respectful to King George III, but we complained about what he did. And I know that some people say that if you complain about the President of the United States, if you disagree with him, then you hate America. And I want to know what you think. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. If you're in the local WAGE calling area, you can call 703-777-1200. And as this July 4th is here, what makes you patriotic? What is it about America that you pledge allegiance to? Are you not patriotic at all? What to you constitutes patriotism? Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine. What's your first name and where are you from? Caller, you there? Caller?
Hi, this is Mike from L.A.
Hey, Mike from L.A., how are you?
I'm doing well, how are you?
Do you consider yourself to be patriotic?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. I do.
Tell me why.
Well, it's tough. I mean, I think you have to look at patriotism pre-9/11 and post-9/11.
Okay.
I think that up until then, a lot of people, myself included, were kind of coming to the view that nationalism, you know, was equated with jingoism. You know, this my country, right or wrong, it was one of the things that got us into the mess we were getting into, and I was really trying to look much more dispassionately at the actions of the United States rather than of my country right or wrong philosophy. But once planes fly into buildings, it crystallizes things in a real clear way, and you have to realize that nationalism is not dead, and you do have to maintain a certain level of allegiance that might appear to be jingoistic.
Well, you know, I'm not attacking nationalism. I'm not attacking patriotism. I consider myself to be quite patriotic. I mean, even on the superficial levels of when the flag is raised and the Star Spangled Banner is sung, and I sing along with it off key because it's a hard song to sing, and I see the fireworks, I have intense love and affection for my country. But I guess my question is, but I don't believe in my country right or wrong. I mean, to me, that's jingoism. Jingoism is my country right or wrong. Nationalism is love of country. And I think that could be for anyone of any country. To me, patriotism is a higher level. It's not just nationalism, but nationalism with a purpose. I love America because of its democratic principles, because of its values, because of its constitution. And if we stray from those values, then that part of America that strays, I love less.
Well, I mean, the Founding Fathers certainly felt that way. They certainly wanted us to be able to challenge the government wherever it was wrong. And, in fact, Thomas Jefferson believed that the Constitution should be revisited every 18 years and possibly rewritten with each new generation. So, yeah, I think that questioning our government and its actions and its beliefs is at the core of being an American and being a patriotic American. So I agree with you there.
You know, what's interesting to me is that, and I get lots of emails from various listeners from left and right, and some of my conservative listeners have been writing me their complaint that we were talking about Fahrenheit 9/11, and they were saying that I'll read to you one letter that I got. The listener writes, "Hollywood, Michael Moore, many Democrats just don't get it. They see hard, indefensible action by a few to Arab prisoners in Iraq as somehow morally equivalent to what Iran, Iraq, Palestinians, and Arabs in Sudan, Al-Qaeda, all over the world are doing to innocent people. We are at war, and the left need to open their eyes, read history, grow it up before it is too late." "We're Aware," they say, is the Hollywood documentary on bin Laden. And I think that it's very interesting when I hear someone say that, because I have, myself personally, I have certainly criticized bin Laden. I have certainly been very upset about the attacks on 9/11. I don't know any American. I don't know any American. Maybe you can find one under a rock. I have not met a single American citizen who was not painfully upset and angered by the horrible attacks of bin Laden on September 11th. But to me, that's the beginning, not the end of the discussion. We all agree as Americans of the horrors and the evil of the people like Al-Qaeda. But that's the beginning. Then the question is, do we give up our Constitution to fight them? I mean, they killed 3,000 Americans. Okay, that's horrible. That's awful. We need to fight them. We all agree. Now, do we give up the Eighth Amendment? The Eighth Amendment says that you can't have cruel and unusual punishment. You can't have torture. Is it important enough to fight Al-Qaeda to throw away our Constitution? And that's where I think the left and the right do disagree, and we should disagree, because to me, this is, I'm holding my Constitution in my hand, I just have my pocket Constitution, this is what I pledge allegiance to, not the flag, but the Constitution. What do you think, Mike?
Well, quite frankly, I agree with you. I think one of the problems in getting involved in any kind of dialogue like this is that we're such a polarized country, and we become very simple-minded in our arguments. I mean, the right is Bush can do no wrong, and the left is, the Michael Moore paradigm is, Bush can do no right. Unfortunately, we've got to the point where if we make any concessions that there might be validity to the other side, it's seen as a sign of weakness, and is simply not allowed. Yours is one of the few shows in which I see some even-handed debate, where you're willing to look at both sides of an issue. And so I think that even when people secretly believe that, yeah, there are some excesses on the Bush's side, if they're Republicans or if they're Bush supporters in general, they can't admit to a chink in the armor. And the same with the liberals. It's a real problem in getting any kind of meaningful dialogue going about this subject.
Well, I appreciate what you say, Mike, and I certainly appreciate the compliments, but I'm not willing to blame both sides in this respect. I don't think... I don't know. I don't believe Michael Moore, and he's left of liberal. He's left of certainly the great majority of Democrats in Congress. I don't see him praising bin Laden or 9/11. What's striking to me is when the Republicans say that if you disagree with Bush, you somehow support 9/11, or you somehow support the terrorists, or Bin Laden, and that's ludicrous.
But by the same token, what Michael Moore is saying is if you support Bush in any way, then you're a lockstep Nazi.
I don't think he's gone that far. There are liberals that do go that far, and I disagree with them. When they compare Bush to Nazis, I say, you don't need to do that. He's incompetent and he's malicious. You don't have to call him a Nazi. He's not a Nazi. We have enough reason to oppose him. You don't have to go that far. Some liberals go that far. I disagree with them. I actually don't think Michael Moore, at least in Fahrenheit 9/11, did that. Have you seen the movie yet, Mike?
I'm afraid I can't really comment on it. I have not seen it.
You really should go see it, because I think that movie shows a lot of respect for America, for the troops. Maybe some other things Michael Moore has said or done have gone... I'm not going to say maybe. Yes, some things he has said or done have gone too far. I think they have gone too far. This movie, I think, didn't. And I think it was just the right level of criticism, at least in my mind. But
well, what I will say is this. I mean, I look at Michael Moore. I see Michael Moore as a bit of a polemicist and a huckster and a self-promoter. However,
well, sure.
I have to leaven that opinion with the fact that, number one, I believe a lot of the footage in that film will have to speak for itself, because it's what is.
Exactly.
And I have no doubt that he twists and turns things, but it doesn't mean that it's not an important film and that it needs to be seen by everyone. And then you need to use your critical faculties afterwards. That's the problem I have with the right, just saying everything about it is invalid without even having seen it. So I intend to see it, quite frankly. In fact, I look forward to seeing it, but I'm certainly going to watch it with a grain of salt.
Well, let me ask you this question. Can you dissent so far that you cease to become patriotic? You cease being patriotic. You cease to love your country. I've been arguing with some of my listeners, my conservative listeners, who argue that Michael Moore is not patriotic, that he hates America, which I find extreme. I don't think anyone can doubt Michael Moore's love of America. I don't doubt Bush's love of America, even at the same time as I'm shocked and amazed that he's releasing terrorists to Saudi Arabia, instead of looking out for American interests. But I'm not arguing, listen up folks, I am not arguing that George Bush is a pawn of the Saudis and does whatever they want. I think he's too friendly toward them, and I think that's partly due to his business interests, but I'm not saying that he doesn't love America. I don't understand the people that say that Michael Moore doesn't love America. You can hate the President of the United States. I don't think it's necessary. I mean, like I said, I call him incompetent and malicious. I don't hate the man. I don't know the man well enough to hate him. But he isn't, in my mind, incompetent and malicious. But my point is, I don't think Michael Moore hates America. He's doing what he thinks is right for his country.
Oh,
and
unless you
take up arms, I mean, Al-Qaeda hates America, all right? They, no question, they hate America. They killed 3,000 American citizens. They took up arms against America. They hate America. But I think that's something that really should be left out of the dialogue. We should not say that other Americans hate America unless they take up arms against their country.
I agree with you. It's quite serious. No, I don't think Michael Moore has come anywhere near the line between dissenting and unpatriotic. And I agree with you. I believe he feels as strongly about his vision of America as George Bush does. He certainly should be allowed to air it. So, no, I don't see that as an issue at all. I believe you cross the line when you take matters into your own hands and start to undermine existing policies, for instance, or collude with an enemy because you feel it's in the best interest of your country. That's where you cross the line. I don't think Michael Moore is anywhere near that.
Hey, Mike, hang on. I'm going to go to commercial break. If you want to join this discussion, it's really easy to do so. Just dial toll-free 877-57-SCOOP from anywhere in the nation, 877-577-2667. Send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. And if you're in Washington, D.C. and driving in this soggy weather to see the fireworks, give me a call on your cell phone, 703-777-1200. We'll be back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
Education, anytime, anywhere, with edanywhere.com. Edanywhere.com can help your student. We confront issues head-on with proven programs and methodologies. If your child has poor grades, reading, writing, or math difficulties, school attendance problems, a poor self-concept, or lack of motivation, edanywhere.com can help with tutoring in specific subject areas, remedial help in reading, writing, spelling, English, math, science, and social studies, GED test preparation, and accredited high school diploma programs. Edanywhere.com provides a middle and high school curriculum that is delivered 24/7 on the Internet for self-paced, independent study. At-risk students in school systems nationwide have been enrolled with a success rate in excess of 85%. Register for classes now by calling 703-4ED-0805 or by downloading from www.edanywhere.com. education, anytime, anywhere, with edanywhere.com. Committed to leaving no student behind.
America's best-dressed sandwich can be summed up by one word, Blimpy. And a mouth-watering, overstuffed Blimpy sub is just around the corner at Blimpy's newly remodeled new location on Catoctin Circle at the Amoco Station in Leesburg. Also next to the Government Center in Leesburg and on Sterling Boulevard. Stop by soon and try some delicious new wraps, including the Southwestern with turkey, bacon, and guacamole. The barbecue wrap, chicken Caesar, zesty Italian, beef and cheddar wrap, or the ultimate BLT wrap with capicola, cheddar, and bacon. And what makes a Blimpy sub so delicious? Start with a fresh baked roll, now available in your choice of honey wheat, sesame seed, poppy seed, zesty parmesan, white, and wheat. Stack it high with fresh meats and cheeses fixed to order with lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, peppers, and all your favorites. Plus, get a free 12-ounce coffee on Mondays. Stop by the new Blimpies today on Catoctin Circle in Leesburg. And don't forget the other locations, next to the Government Center in Leesburg and on Sterling Boulevard. Blimpies also has great employment opportunities.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop, bringing you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. And happy Independence Day! Happy July 4th! Going out in this soggy weather in Washington, D.C. to go out and see the fireworks. I plan to do it right after this radio show is over. But I think that when this country is at war and when people's patriotism is being challenged right or left, it's important before we see the beautiful fireworks to just take a minute and reflect on what this country is all about. What patriotism is all about. Why are you a patriot? Why do you defend America? Is it the land? Is it our beaches? Is it our Constitution? Which, as far as I'm concerned, is the thing that we should be pledging allegiance to rather than its flag. I'd like to read from the Declaration of Independence, which was adopted by the Second Continental Congress 228 years ago today. They said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Note, they didn't include women at the time, but I do think we include them now. "That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness." So let's talk about what the Declaration of Independence says. It says that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. Remember, the Declaration of Independence predates the Constitution of the United States. A government is only just if it has the consent of the governed. To me, again, this says that if we don't consent, then we are truly patriotic Americans. We are exercising our rights as Americans. And I would argue, I would go farther and argue that if you blindly support the government, if you believe everything the government says without thought, without challenge, without looking it up, without seeing the other side, if you blindly support your government, then I would argue you are not a patriotic American. You're no different from a Soviet citizen or a citizen of any dictatorship that blindly salutes that dictator. The Declaration of Independence says a government derives its just powers from the consent of the governed. And, of course, the governed, as we know in 2000, they didn't choose George Bush, did they? Not at all. They chose Al Gore. And we can argue about whether the Constitution said Al Gore should be president. I would argue that's exactly what it said, because Al Gore won the majority of the votes in Florida, according to Florida law. But the point is that if government has its consent by the governed, if that's what makes government just, according to our Declaration of Independence, then it is up to us as American citizens to challenge, to criticize our government. And that's our obligation as American citizens to do. That, to me, is the heart of patriotism, not blind support. But I want to hear what you think. The number is 877-57-SCOOP. Call from anywhere in the country. Toll free, 877-577-2667. If you're in the Washington, D.C. area, you can give a local call. 703-777-1200. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine and the Inside Scoop. What's your first name? Where are you from? Caller, you there?
Yeah, this is Gordon from Michigan.
Hi, Gordon from Michigan. What's your thoughts on patriotism and this July 4th?
Well, you were just talking about all these transcendental ideals of the Declaration of Independence,
yep.
And I think that's what this country is all about. It's more than just a government. It's a system that's vanguarding human rights for this planet. And we as citizens of this nation and this planet have to be responsible for keeping this system in balance. And I think we're at a pressure point right now where, like you said, we're almost nudging towards Nazism in the kind of rationale that our president is throwing at us as far as the Senate is concerned. And the electorate is really in a serious situation in this election to show that there's still, the government still comes from the people.
Well, Gordon, I just want to make a slight correction. I mean, and I respect your beliefs. I haven't said this government is edging towards Nazism. I think that's, to me, too strong rhetoric. I think this government...
I'll say fascism.
I would say incompetent and malicious. I think that's enough. I don't think we're headed toward fascism.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up. I'm just saying I'm nudging towards it. We're not there yet, but if we...
You have the right to your opinion, and that's why I love this country. But go ahead. I'm sorry. But I agree with you on the election. I think this government is one of the worst we've ever had. And,
but I think as far as being a patriot in this point in time, it's about maintaining balance in our government. I mean, the history of our government is about a cyclical exchanges of power. The Democrats and the Republicans, they go up and down.
Yep.
And it's about, you know, well, Vietnam, the Democrats were in a serious swing in their direction. And the Republicans had to come back to sort of take us out of a bad war situation.
Yep.
And now we're almost in that same kind of a reciprocal way now.
Let me ask you a question, Gordon. I got an email from one of my more conservative listeners, and he argues that the hatred, the growing hatred of the world for the United States of America, which, again, is really largely the last 3 years. I mean, 2001, of course, we know Le Monde, the main French newspaper, had a headline, "We are all Americans now," because all of the world stood with us as we were attacked on September 11th. And now we have some of the highest hatred of the United States by foreigners ever in our history. Anyway, this conservative argues that that hatred should be a badge of honor, that we should be proud to be hated, and that liberals are far too concerned about what the world thinks of us, and we need to understand that that hatred is a badge of honor. What do you think about that?
Well, hatred is a bad thing all the way around. It doesn't help anybody anywhere. And this hatred has come from a stand of the nation in a vendetta, a misdirected reprisal, if you will. We should have had a police action in order to get the dispatchers, the suicide killers. Instead, we created two wars. And I think that's out of proportion. And creating hatred is never going to be a good thing, because you're just talking about solid bad. And nothing comes, there's no good in solid bad.
Gordon, I want to thank you for your call and all your calls. You know, to me, and I think Gordon's right about this, I don't agree that we're heading yet toward fascism. I don't think that's where Bush is going. To me, it's much more simple than that. Bush aids his... He loves his country. There's no question. Bush loves America in his way, but what he wants to help the people that brought him to the table. As Molly Ivins wrote, you got to dance with them what brung you. And so if you look at his policies, they aid big business, polluters, Halliburton, the Saudis, all the people in Bush's coalition, all the people that brought him to power, that give him his power. That's who Bush is helping. And what strikes me, though, is how far he's willing to go to do it. Because when a president starts to violate the Constitution of the United States, then it seems to me that a true patriotic American has got to call him on it. And what we've seen, for example, in the recent Supreme Court hearing, the recent Supreme Court decision on the detainees that were held without trial, without access to a lawyer indefinitely, that is clearly against the Constitution of the United States. And if you don't believe me, let me read to you from the Constitution of the United States, which I think everyone should read. The Sixth Amendment says, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by impartial jury. All right? And again, I'm not just talking about people captured in Afghanistan. I'm talking about citizens. People like Jose Padilla, captured in, of all places, Chicago, an American citizen. It also says in the Constitution that you can't have cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. The president takes an oath to uphold the Constitution. And when he doesn't follow it, we don't have a right to call him on it. We have a duty as Americans to call on it. That is our patriotic duty. I want to read to you more from the Declaration of Independence and again use it to think about our current president. In this declaration, Thomas Jefferson was talking about King George III. And he said, and the Continental Congress that adopted it said, King George III has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. Think about that. That's in our Declaration of Independence, that he's tried to make the military independent of and superior to the civil power. Kind of reminds me of Judge Clarence Thomas, the only justice of the Supreme Court who supported the Bush administration. The other eight didn't, including Scalia, who supported the Bush administration taking American citizens, holding them indefinitely without trial. Think about it. Is George Bush doing, is George the W doing what George the Third did? Has he affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power? I mean, even Justice Scalia, no left-winger, he said, when Bush lawyers argued this point, you're trying to have more power than George Washington. What else does it say on the Declaration of Independence? It says that King George, he was depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury. Isn't that interesting? King George transported us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. Now that's interesting. Given that we take people that we've captured, we put them in Guantanamo Bay, where George Bush has claimed they are beyond the United States Constitution, they are beyond U.S. jurisdiction. Is he doing the same thing that George III did? Let me read from more of the Declaration of Independence. He, meaning George III, has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. Has George Bush obstructed justice by being against investigations into 9/11, into the intelligence failures, by fighting so hard those investigations? Has he obstructed justice by leading his people to disclose a CIA agent, Valerie Plame, when her husband had the audacity to challenge George Bush's lies? What else does it say here? It says that King George, at this time, is transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, destruction, and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation. Well, I'm not going to argue that George III has gone, I mean, that George W. has gone that far, but I do think that the acts by our troops, authorized at the highest levels by the President of the United States, are totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. It goes on to say, Declaration of Independence says, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Well, I'm not calling George W. Bush a tyrant, but I do think there are some similarities here. We have petitioned for redress. The people have cried out to George W. Bush, disclose what's going on. Dick Cheney, tell us what's going on with the Energy Task Force. Tell us about these secret deals with the Saudis, where you're giving them advantages that American citizens don't have. Tell us about the tortures. Tell us about the secret documents that you signed that say that we don't have to follow international law. We ask you with our petitions, what is going on, Mr. President? And it seems to me that the Declaration of Independence is right. It is the president's obligation to us to let us know what's going on. You know what, folks? He works for us, the president of the United States. He works for us. He is our employee. And I want you to think, and we're going to go to one more quick commercial break, but I want you to think, when we come back, what is it that can get you to say to the president of the United States, as Donald Trump would say, you're fired? What is it? What is it the president has to do? We'll be back with our closing remarks right after this.
My mom is a hero. She goes into burning buildings. She finds people inside who need to be saved. And then she helps them get out. Even when she can't breathe or see. Even when she's a little scared. My mom is a firefighter. She does great things. And the best thing she can do is come home.
The U.S. Fire Administration, a part of FEMA, reminds you to protect the heroes who protect our lives. Have a smoke alarm on every floor. Test it monthly. Replace the battery yearly. Do your part to get out before firefighters have to come in. The fact is, 60% of all fire deaths occur in a home without a working smoke alarm. The good news is, that's a fact that can change. For more information, visit the U.S. Fire Administration at www.usfa.fema.gov. Working for a fire-safe America.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're discussing patriotism this July 4th, and we only got a few minutes left, but before you go out and see your fireworks tonight, before you go out into the soggy rain here in Washington or in the bright sunny days across the nation, wherever you're listening to me from, I want you to think about what it means to be an American, why it is that you love your country, if you do, and I hope you do. I love my country. To me, America is about the country of second chances. It's the place where, you know, unless you were brought here in chains as slaves, or unless you're a descendant of Native Americans, some almost 90% of us are descended from people who immigrated here and did so to seek a better life. Maybe it was financially, economically, maybe it was for religious freedom. Whatever the reason, America kept its doors open, right? Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free, as it says underneath the Statue of Liberty, that great poem by Emma Lazarus, herself an immigrant. We take people who are cast out from the wretched masses, right, cast out from their countries. America is a place of second chances, and the reason we are such a great country, and I do believe we are a great country, and in my mind, I would argue the greatest country on earth, is because we can take people of all different backgrounds, and everyone has a say in this democracy, and we don't have to get rid of our former identities. You don't have to stop being whatever you are, of any heritage that you have. You can be that heritage and American. America is a melting pot, but it's also a mosaic of many cultures and peoples, and it all works because we all democratically can challenge our government and can say what's right for our country. And I want to state that, to me, one of the reasons America is great, it's more than just a democracy. But really, I want to celebrate when those fireworks come out tonight. I want to celebrate the Constitution of the United States because, you know, we are not ruled by a majority in this country. The Constitution could be very simply written. It could simply say, whatever the people vote on, that's the law. Or maybe as a republic, a representative democracy, whoever we elect, whatever they vote on, that's the law. That's not what it says. The Constitution restricts government power. The great ten rights in the Bill of Rights, the 14th Amendment, which protects equal protection under the law. The Constitution restrains the government. And even when the government says, you know what, blacks and whites cannot get married because we don't like it, and because the majority, 90% of Americans, or at least of those who can vote, which are mostly whites, said whites and blacks couldn't marry in Virginia. And yet the Supreme Court upheld the Constitution and said, you know what? I don't care what the majority says. Equal protection under the laws. You have the right, the same rights. Whites and blacks have the same rights. And it doesn't matter what the majority says. The same is true with the gay marriage decision. The majority of Americans still do not believe this today, that the gay people should have full and equal rights to straight people. But the Constitution says otherwise. As far as I'm concerned, the Constitution, which says equal protection under the laws, says we can't have second-class citizenship in America. No matter what your religious beliefs, you can't impose a state religion on America. There are restrictions in the Constitution on the majority. And to me, the pride of our country, the pride of America, is a country where everyone's voice is listened to, where the majority usually rules. We have certain individual rights, certain individual protections that are protected. And when our president is not respecting our Constitution, it is not only our right, but our patriotic duty to call him on it. And I want you to think about that this July 4th. Tune in tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to talk about the Saudi trade of terrorists for hostages. You won't want to miss it at www.radioinsidescoop.com. See you tomorrow. This is Mark Levine, signing off.
AM 1200 WAGE, Leesburg and Loudoun County, is your sound choice for news.
up to the U.S. elections. As a result, every big event, and especially a symbolic one like the 4th of July, is going to have heavy security. But officials say there is no specific intelligence about 4th of July celebrations.
Our Gene Meserve in Washington says mobile surveillance units have been parked at the National Mall for tonight's concert and fireworks display. Well, the weather